it's very important as envoy that we get out of Juba at times, that we actually hear and see what is happening in the regions, and specifically at the moment. Now, we are pressing as the international community and as the UK for speedier implementation of the peace process. And certainly we know at the moment that there has been some delays in setting up the governance structure, and one of those delays is because of the appointment of the Governor of Upper Nile. So we thought it was a good opportunity to come up and just to hear the views of many of the people here on Malakal, and also just to see what it's like, because as you as I go back to London and work with the Ambassador and my colleagues on how best we can assist the people of South Sudan, to help us do that, it's important to actually see what the situation is like on the ground.
People of Upper Nile, they felt like they're abandoned by their government. Put in place that we have 9 governors already in place and Upper Nile is left out. And we know all the resources of this country are actually found here. This is the oil field and everything. So as international community, your impression on that?
Yeah, certainly I must admit, when I travel around South Sudan, this is a very resource-rich country. It's a beautiful country, and it is such a pity that the country is in the position it's in. Certainly we have pressed for a long time, and we had a number of meetings in Juba at the week, on the beginning of the week, and we pressed and will continue to press for the formation of a government, including the appointment of a governor for Upper Nile, because our concern has always been that without those governance structures in place, you create the vacuum, and into that vacuum, have problems and issues. And by appointing governors, you then allow the other parts of state structures to be set up, and hopefully through that you begin to address some of the problems. So as I say, we met President Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar earlier this week. We met them together, and along with my Troika colleagues, the US and the Norwegians, we pressed again that an appointment is made soon.
We heard that the government is continuing to form the rest of the arms of government, like a parliamentarian and the rest, in other 9 states, and Upper Nile is let out. So I want to see practical kind of action as people of Upper Nile. When are we going to see action?
As I say, we pressed on this, and we were advised that discussions will continue, but they are hopeful that they will find a solution. And I think there was a press release earlier this week which advised there will be a conference in Juba which will bring together the various peoples of Upper Nile to discuss how to take this forward and find a decision. And I'll be honest, I know there has been delays. These delays have caused problems, but I would hope that if this is the way the government is trying to take this forward, that the various groups here in Upper Nile would accept that invitation and would go to any talks or conference with an open mind.
Your last message to people of Upper Nile in particular, and South Sudan in general, what do you want to tell them?
The message from the UK is that we will continue to work with the people of South Sudan. We will continue to press as hard as we can for a peace, for a long-lasting peace, and the UK will remain with the people of South Sudan as they move forward. But our fervent hope is that now that we see, or we hopefully see, the formation of the government, this is South Sudan turning a corner for a better future, and that is what we really want for the people of South Sudan. And the UK will remain, we remain one of the major donors in this country, with education, with health, etc. We will continue to do that, and we hope that as we move forward into 2021, we do begin to see a change. But I would hope that as I continue to come back in years to come, we keep seeing positive change, because that's what the people of South Sudan deserve.